So today's call is on a, I think, an exciting new initiative that I'd like to share with you all called Check Your Free Credit Report. It's a campaign that we want to try to launch here in Wisconsin and hope get some traction over the next few years. The materials I'm going to talk about today are on the fyi.uwex.edu/financial-series. So it's fyi.uwex.edu/financial-series, and it's Check Your Free Credit Report campaign, 2266-1010. And in the little blurb there that Libby posted, there is a link to a website, a new FYI website, which is fyi.uwex.edu/credit-report. So I'm going to talk a little about that today. But there's also an issue brief, which is a Adobe PDF document that you should be able to find. And that's posted. It has a 2013-01 number on it, the sort of standard issue brief for the Family Financial Education. So what I'd like to do with our time today is talk about this new campaign, talk about ways that we can enhance it and how we roll it out over the next year or so, and also get your thoughts on how you might think about engaging in this and with this with your learners and your communities, and just ways we can begin to use some new techniques too, like social media and Twitter and Facebook and other ways to try to get at this issue. So anybody have any trouble bringing up either the FYI site or the brief? Okay, hopefully it's all there. So I'm going to start by going over the brief. Then I'm going to spend some time going over the credit report website, the fyi.uwex.edu/credit-report website, and talk about some of the features of that, and then try to break a little bit earlier than usual just so we can get some discussion and your thoughts about ways that you might be able to engage in this this project. All right, so let me start at the very beginning, and I'm going to start with the issue brief and provide a little bit of overview of why we're even thinking about doing this. Credit reports, as you probably know, are used now for all kinds of things. So it's not uncommon or illegal for an employer to pull your credit report before hiring you or before expanding the functions that you might be involved in. So if you want to start taking on more responsibility for things like money, they might do something like check your credit report. It is very common in the insurance industry to pull your credit report as a measure of your behavior. How, you know, do you take risks? What's your sort of financial condition? That kind of thing. For all different kinds of insurance, not just insurance related to credit, but insurance, say like life insurance or car insurance, different kinds of insurance like that. Cell phone companies. If you want to sign up for a new cell phone plan, you frequently will get a credit check. Landlords. More sophisticated landlords are getting credit checks. And in fact, for many financial services now, the way that your identity is confirmed is by asking you questions about things that are on the credit report. So the credit report is sort of part of this new big data initiative that we see in the financial industry, where more and more data is being used for a variety of uses across different kinds of products and fields. And so now more than ever, it's important for people to make sure what's in their credit report is accurate. And the truth is that nobody has any responsibility for what's in your credit report except for you. The credit bureaus maintain the credit reports. They own the data, even though it's data about you. They control it. They control access to it. They charge for access to it. They use it in various algorithms. But if it's wrong, it's really not their problem. It's really your problem. And so the onus of maintaining a credit report is really on the consumer. A lot of consumers don't know this. They don't look at their credit reports. They don't know what's in there. And they don't know if what's in there could be holding them back because maybe it's inaccurate. Maybe there's negative things in there they could have cleaned up. So it's an issue that's sort of nascent in the sense that a lot of people didn't know about how to use their credit report. It wasn't really until the 80s or 90s that credit reports began to be used in a broader sense, and it wasn't really until the last 5 or 6 years that credit reports have been much more accessible through online tools. Simultaneous to this, we've seen a huge growth in credit monitoring subscription services. And you've seen the ads, I'm sure, on TV for, you know, what all the bad things that happen to people when they don't check their credit reports. And so what they sell is a service, and the service can cost sometimes it's as little as $4.99 a month, but more likely it's $9.99 or $19.99. In some cases I've seen $29.99 per month automatically charged to your credit card or bank account. Essentially, for a third-party company to pull your credit report, do a soft pull of your credit report, and let you know what's in it. Well, there's several things wrong with that model. One is that you don't really need to check your credit every month. You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe you know people who, you know, check their temperature or their weight on a daily or more than daily basis. It's like, then you don't really need that much information. You need it, you know, periodically, but not that frequently. And there's not much that level of detail on your credit report really helps you with. There are certainly cases of people who've been the victim of a fraud or, you know, have some sort of watch on their credit report. In those cases, you actually get special access to your credit report from the bureaus once you sort of make that known that you have an official problem. So, you know, even these extraordinary circumstances where maybe a credit monitoring service might make sense, there are other ways you can get it done. So at the very least, for people, this is a, you know, pretty large expense, $300, $400 a year that they might be spending on a credit monitoring service when they really could do it themselves. So that's another issue here, too. We need to take care of it. We need to do it on our own, and we don't need to spend a lot of money to get it done. There are ways to get it done that don't cost you anything other than a little bit of time. So what this campaign is, this 2266-1010 campaign is to remind people that every year they should check each of their three credit reports with each of the three major credit bureaus once a year. So on February 2nd, which is 22, on June 6th, which is 66, and on October 10th, which is 1010, they should pull each one of the credit reports. And we've been sort of just saying, you know, do them in alphabetical order where you do, you know, one bureau each time, and that way every year you check each bureau on a regular basis. There's nothing special about those dates other than they have some nice rhythm to them. They're about, you know, about 4 months apart. They are, you know, the double numbers sort of might be more memorable, the 2266-1010. But, you know, the key thing is that every year you check each of your reports about once a year. And even the, you know, the free credit report site, which the government sets up, essentially says that same thing. You should check your credit report about every 4 months, one from each bureau. And so we're just picking some dates that are on an approximate schedule that people could remember and try to do this. I mean, this isn't that much different than remembering to get a flu shot or take care of basic health checkups, that kind of thing. This is a credit report checkup, and because we actually have three different sources of credit data, we want people to do it from each bureau once a year, and we split it out in that sort of fashion. So that's where the 2266-1010 comes from. Hopefully it's catchy enough that you've already memorized those three dates, and you can help remember that yourself. So why do we think this is a big deal? There are only about 16 million free credit reports that are ordered each year from the annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com is the official site that has been set up through actions of the federal government with the three bureaus. So the three bureaus came together, created this common portal to get your free credit report. And that's really the site. There are lots of imposter sites, like, for example, Free Credit Report or, you know, any other variation on that. It's the annualcreditreport.com. It's the real site that people could pull their credit reports from. So like I said, 16 million do it each year, and roughly 200 million have credit reports. So it's a very small fraction of the population, less than 10%, that are checking their credit report through the free mechanism that exists out there. More are getting it in other ways, but still it's less than half in most places that are paying any attention to their credit reports, and very few do it in a systematic fashion, so they're checking each bureau on a regular basis every year. The credit report is a sort of odd record. It's a record that contains every account that you have had with any company that's a reporter. In other words, a reporting company is one that participates in the credit bureaus. They get access to the credit bureau data, and they also report back your payments. So if you've been on time, if you've not been on time, if there's been some dispute, that's all put in that record. The record itself is essentially some text about you, some text fields, things like your name and other information about you, your Social Security number, your date of birth, your address. And then a number of different statuses of accounts, so different kinds of accounts. The credit report breaks it up by things like mortgages and credit cards and auto loans and different kinds of loans. And, you know, if you're a typical customer and you don't have any late payments, it's sort of the status is, there's not much to report. It just says you have some accounts. It says how much you've borrowed. It says how much you have available. And that's about it. But for people who've had any problems with credit, meaning they've missed payments, had late payments, maybe missed more than one payment, had a judgment, had some kind of a dispute, had a lien, you know, in an extreme case, maybe had a foreclosure or a bankruptcy, those all go on the credit report. And the more of those negative items that a creditor sees when they pull your credit report, the more they begin to ask questions and the less the interested they are in providing you the best possible terms on credit. In the extreme cases, they'll say, we're not going to offer you any credit at all. So the more negative items in the report, the more skeptical a reviewer of the report is going to be. But there's also items in the report that aren't necessarily negative, but offer some other information, like the number of different accounts that you might have. For accounts that you have, how much of each account you've used, how long you've had accounts, you know, if these accounts have been created recently or if they've been around for a long time. So there's lots of other ways that, businesses can use the information in the report besides just looking for the, negative items that might occur. Credit reports are, like I said, unusual information because they're items that are held by this, third-party credit bureau. It's your information, and it is personal information. Those credit records are bound by law so that access to them is limited to those who have a reason for bringing their credit report. And, you know, essentially it's a financial institution or another entity that you have a relationship with, and you've, through the nature of that relationship, given them the permission to look at the credit report. But it is sensitive information. It has things like your date of birth and your Social Security number, two pieces of information which would be pretty easy to use for identity theft. And so the credit report is a document that we want to keep protected pretty closely and not allow to get into the public hands. The three credit bureaus, this is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, have essentially the same kinds of data in slightly different formats. And the way that most people get their credit reports these days is through the Internet. And so when you look at them on the Internet, the three bureaus look different. And when you order a report in paper form, which some people still do, it also looks different. So three bureaus, essentially the same kinds of information, but laid out in different ways. And because each bureau has different relationships with each creditor, they can have different information. So it's possible that you could have information in an Equifax report that is not in an Experian report, or an error in a TransUnion report that's not an error in the other two reports. So it is important to keep track of all three individually, since they each are collecting different kinds of information and reporting different kinds of information in different ways. It's also important to remember that people get very confused by credit reports and credit scores. Credit scores are what you see sort of in the popular press. You see them on advertisements. You see lots of attention about the credit score. Credit scores are not part of annualcreditreport.com. The credit score is something you have to pay for. It uses a formula that was created by typically what people get is the FICO score, the Fair Isaac score. So they created that formula. They own it, and they sell access to that formula. There are certainly ways you can get your credit score through a financial institution by paying a fee to one of the three bureaus. There are simulated credit scores which use the information in your report, and they come pretty close to estimating what your credit score is. So there are ways to get the credit score. But I think this credit report, credit score confusion that people have detracts from the major issue, which is what's in the credit report is what determines what the credit score is. And if the credit report is not accurate, the credit score can't be accurate. So we want people to get into their credit report, maintain their credit report data, and that makes sure that the credit score is based on true and accurate data. So there's a, you know, I understand a lot of attention put on the credit score, and occasionally it's probably not a bad idea to pay the money or work with your financial institution to get a copy of your credit score. But the key thing is the credit report. If you don't have a lot of negative information in your credit report, then your credit score is sort of unnecessary because you you're doing fine. If you have a lot of negative information in your credit report, your credit score is going to be lower. And the more you can clean that up, the better your credit score will be over time. So I think we want to really focus in this campaign on the report and not get too distracted by the score. All right, so as you talk to people in your communities about why they would want to check their credit report, I think there's essentially three messages we want to try to get across. One is that if you have inaccurate information, if you have error in the report if you have information in the report that's in error, then that can cost you money. You can end up having to pay more for an auto loan. You might not get as much credit offered to you on a credit card. You might end up paying higher rates on a mortgage. So, you know, probably the most important reason is to make sure that the information in the credit report is accurate. So that's number one. Make sure we have good quality information in our credit report. Two is if you are able to keep an eye on your credit report on a regular basis, you're more likely to notice when somebody might be using your identity without your knowledge. So if you see accounts popping up or you see information on the report that doesn't look familiar to you, then that might suggest that somebody else is using the information in your credit report, the identities that you have, to take out accounts in your name or to use an account that you have in a way that you're not aware of. Typically, this is when somebody that knows you is the most common form of identity theft, or a child, a sibling, a parent, using information of somebody that's not their own, but somebody that they know enough that they can get by. But sometimes it's people who've gone through your trash or other ways bought or stolen information about you and then use that. And so identity theft is a growing problem. One way to keep an eye on that is to check your credit report. If you start to see items in there that are strange, you could begin to take action to ferret out what's going on and try to put a stop to it. So number one was accurate information. Number two was to check for identity theft. And the third reason is that the more people can pay attention to their credit report, the more they're going to think about paying bills on time, paying down debt. It's just going to make them more conscious and aware of their financial behavior and more willing and able to take steps to take action. So it's easier for me to rack up credit card debt and only pay the minimum payment if I just don't pay much attention. I know every month I pay the bill, I move on. But if I start to see that bill in the context of all the other bills I have and start to understand how that information may be used and how it might affect me, I might start to pay more attention, might start to be more likely to pay down my bills every month and just be in general more on top of my credit and debt. So the big three reasons to remember here are: one, to make sure your credit report's accurate; two is to check for identity theft; and three is to begin to focus on managing your credit, that your credit portfolio is something you really have to manage. And it's hard to know how fast you're driving if you don't have a speedometer. The credit report can become the speedometer so that you can begin to take action and really manage your credit yourself. So the next thing to start thinking about is when we get our credit reports, what do we do with them? The process for getting the credit report is pretty easy. You can go onto the website, you can call a phone number, or you can write in and get your credit report. The problem is people will get them and then they sort of feel baffled by what they've got. So we want to really not only encourage people through this campaign to go through one of these three ways and get their credit report, but to actually do something with it. And so the goal of the campaign is, one, on these three dates to pull one of your three reports, but two, to raise the awareness about what to do with it, about how to look at it, recognize what kinds of features each of the three reports have, and begin to be able to find when mistakes might be there, or in general take more action to manage your reports. There are some good resources from the federal government, particularly the Federal Trade Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that are linked to in this document about the credit reporting process and about how to manage your credit report. So there's lots of good information out there from reputable sources we can rely on. There's actually, surprisingly, not that much information from the bureaus themselves. Remember, the bureaus actually do make money when people buy their credit reports. A lot of the free credit report sites, those imposters, are actually run by the credit bureaus. So they don't have a strong incentive to try to make this easy for people. So in some ways, the role of extension, the role of community-based educators is even more important to help people navigate this process and sort of take control of these kinds of things. Website, the fyi.uwex.edu/credit report website, is pretty basic. It is designed to provide some tips, some basic information on how to pull your credit report and what to look for when you're there. So the content on the site is, you know, if you were to print it out, maybe 2 or 3 pages. It's not much more than the brief itself. But it has some other features that we're kind of excited about that I think kind of leverage the technology that we have available to us. One is that when you're on the website, you can actually click on a number of different links to remind yourself about the 3 dates, about the 2-2-6-6-10-10. So the first is you can sign up for a reminder email. And so there's a big blue link on the left side of the page that says sign up for reminder emails. All it is a one question, form that you fill out, which is your email address. The email address is only used to send you an email on 2-2-6-6 and 10-10 to say, hey, today's the day to check your credit report. Here's the website if you need some information to take next steps. So it's a simple little reminder system that will be automatically triggered 3 times a year for anybody who signs up in that database. And they can obviously opt out of it if they choose to later. But ultimately it's just 3 emails a year. So for most people, that's really not a whole lot of a burden. And hopefully at least a few of them will see that email, remember about the campaign, and then go check their credit report. The second is that you can add reminders to a calendar. So there's at least 3 different calendar systems that are widely used. One is Microsoft Outlook, the other is the Apple iCal or calendar system, and then the Google Calendar. So there are links to be able to add those on the website to your own calendar. So you can do that through the website. Other things on the website are some information about how to obtain your free credit report from the official AnnerCreditReport.com bureau, sort of step-by-step how to do that. There's another tab in here about reading your report, so some information about different sections of the credit report, and it actually offers some information from the Attorney General in Illinois looking for different sections of the credit report. Over time, we're going to try to get some sample credit reports in here that are de-identified so that people can actually see what some of the credit reports look like. We'd also like to have in this section a video that explains, probably me explaining how to go through your credit report and what kinds of things to look for. So we're going to build out this section of the site a bit more to include more information about how to check your credit report and what kinds of things to look for. We then have a section in the website called Fixing Errors. And this is what to do if you do find an error in your report. It's not uncommon to find information in there that's erroneous. Maybe it's a creditor reported incorrectly or wrong dates or wrong amounts, those kinds of things. So each of the bureaus has a website that you can go to report the problems when they occur. They have 30 to 45 days to respond to those, so you can begin to get those in motion. And you can also, in some cases, contact the creditor directly. So it talks a bit about strategies for that. Finally, there's a little quick section here about credit reports versus credit scores, hopefully making the same point I just made, that credit reports are really the foundation of credit scores. And so we acknowledge that people will want their score, but the credit report is really the fundamental thing that we have to make sure we manage. And then finally, there are a number of links in the links page that show you both the creditreport.com site, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau site, which has a number of reports and initiatives around credit reports currently. The Federal Reserve has some information about credit scores and credit reports. And then finally, the Federal Trade Commission, which has been really a major leader on how to move forward with the credit bureaus and to make sure this information is accessible and useful for folks. There is also some information in here about the Consumer Credit Counseling System, so the National Foundation for Consumer Credit Counseling, NFCC. We've done some calls in the past where we've talked about the credit counseling system and the nonprofit credit counseling system, so there's some information there about, from their website, how you can find a local agency, and many of you work with Consumer Credit Counseling as it is. So that's the main features of the website, again, that we would really see the website as being a key part of the campaign and part of what would be promoted through various methods. So I talked a bit with Meg Gores in Extension about ways that we could work on promoting the campaign. And so she's going to be working on some materials that can be sent out to the counties and adapted for local use. So press releases, Twitter. So we've talked about a number of different 140-character sayings or scripts that can be sent out on each of the three dates, on 2-2, 6-6, and 10-10, to remind people to check their credit report. And there's actually a Twitter handle, one of those hashtags that will be out there on Check Your Credit and Credit Report. There's already an existing hashtag for Credit Report, so we'll try to piggyback on some of these existing social media tools. She's also working with Jackie Atkins about a Facebook messaging that can be done so we can start to get the word out through Facebook. And we're also going to look at doing video, YouTube, and podcasts. So there'll be a number of different tools that we can begin to roll out over the year that you could use or not use, but that'll be available to you to help promote this at the local level. I'll talk quickly about sort of educational opportunities that might be embedded in this campaign. One is this might be an easy way to re-engage with people that you've worked with over the course of the year, so you can send them information about the campaign, perhaps enroll them or offer that they can enroll themselves into the reminders database. And I also think there might be some opportunities to do some, you know, short workshops or other kinds of educational opportunities, maybe even, you know, new technology, distributed technology like short videos or various ways like this through the Internet that we might be able to share information with consumers about what do you do with the credit report. So the actual getting your credit report from annualcreditreport.com is pretty simple, and some of those steps are outlined in the brief about, you know, how do you actually enter the information to get your report, because it does, I think the main thing that throws people off is that it asks them personal questions. So it asks you some information from your credit report that only you would know, past addresses or accounts that you have, and whether you have them or not is sort of a quiz to make sure you're really who you are. Sometimes that throws people off. So the actual going through the annualcreditreport.com to get a report might require some training or education that could be interesting for people to attend in a short workshop format. The other, I think, that's probably more relevant and the one that people struggle with more is how do you read it? Each of the three credit reports can be quite long. It can have, you know, lots of unusual formatting. You know, the text font sometimes isn't the most legible or readable, and it's intimidating to look at. And so helping people to understand, okay, it may look different, but essentially we're looking for the same kinds of things every time. You know, your information about you, the information about your accounts, the different kinds of accounts, the public records. We can sort of help people think about the sections of the credit report that they should look for, regardless of what the order might be or what the font might look like. And then I think there's probably some education that we need to do around helping people understand what really is an error. So obviously, if it's an error if your name is wrong or if there's accounts in there that are not yours. But there are other errors that might not be so obvious, like, you know, perhaps there's an error. You were late on a payment, but they noted it for the wrong month, for maybe a month that was more recent, and it wasn't the recent month, it was an older month. Well, that matters, because the older the negative is, the sooner it's going to be off your report and no longer affect you. So getting the dates right really matters. You know, the balance amount, sometimes the balance might be off by a zero or a decimal point. You want to make sure that those kinds of things are right. Even things like account numbers or creditor name, we want to make sure those are accurate, because they might be confused with another account or another creditor. So those all need to be accurate. Oftentimes things like credit limits, credit amounts are high. They're hard for people to judge. They don't know how much their credit limits are. And it might require a little bit of investigation on their part, where they have to go back to their statements or call their creditor to find out what the terms were. Identity theft, I think that's, again, a one that some people might be confused by. You know, they see their daughter or parent's name on their credit report, and they just sort of assume it's okay. And really, it may not be. It may not be anything where there was any fraud taking place, but it just may be a mix-up on the behalf of the creditor. I know I share the same name as my dad, and so we had some confusion in our credit report in the past, and so that's probably not an uncommon thing to see in other people's reports. And then for people who have negative information, which, remember, is, you know, a lot of people have had different kinds of credit problems, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years. So just because you have negative information in your credit report doesn't mean you should sort of throw up your hands and say, well, forget it, there's no point in me trying to maintain my credit because it's already in trouble. All those negative items on the credit report are not there for your entire life. Most of them have an expiration date. 7 to 10 years after the filing date on a bankruptcy or foreclosure or a judgment, they will disappear. Sometimes you have to remind the bureau that they should disappear. TransUnion, I think, is the one bureau that actually puts in the report the date on which these items will be removed from the credit report. The other bureaus don't, so you have to track that yourself. But, you know, it's an important thing to get those off. And even though at a bankruptcy 7 years ago doesn't affect your credit that much, having it off the report is certainly better than having it on. So making sure that monitoring those dates and making sure that they are moved when they should be is an important thing. And then I think the biggest issue are items that are in collections. This is where people can actually use the negative information in the report and do something about it. They can pay off whatever the balance is, get it cleaned up. They can try to contact the creditor and negotiate a settlement. They can try to dispute whether the debt is even theirs. You know, perhaps it is theirs, but it's beyond the terms of the original agreement. Perhaps it's a debt that was in dispute in the process of a divorce or some other kinds of issue like that. Or, you know, perhaps it's a debt that, you know, there was, you know, examples of things like credit cards where there was supposed to be a credit and offsetting debit and the debit never came in and, you know, sort of these negotiations with a third party to try to settle this have somehow influenced that credit item. Those are items that you can, at the very least, get a note put in the report on that there's an active dispute and that you're trying to settle it. Or you can try to just get the dispute settled and then get the credit report to reflect that. You know, late payments and missing payments, these are all things that are going to be in the report. You know, they are the items that are the most alarming to a creditor when they see recent late payments. After about 2 years, those late payments or missed payments typically are not that influential. They don't hurt your credit that much. Although, you know, a few 30-day late is certainly less of a concern than, you know, one 90-day late. A 90-day late really signals to creditors that something was amiss. And so, you know, we need to pay attention to not only how many items in there, but how severe the delinquencies were as well. And again, each of the bureaus has a process under the Fair Credit Reporting Act to handle disputes. And so one thing we have to help people learn about is how do you make a dispute, and particularly how do you document your case. If you contact the bureau and you have evidence of a dispute, you need to make sure you document that communication, the date of the communication, and then they have a set time window to get that done, typically 30 to 45 days. So it's important for people to be very systematic when they find an error to contact the agency, each of the agencies, and to get that error fixed. The other important thing is that you can get another free report when those disputes are filed. So for people who get the report, they look at it. It's not that they now have lost their opportunity to pull the report. They now can pull all three reports, and they can still pull one more report if they haven't pulled one from each of the other bureaus. So it sort of does give you the ability to restart the clock on the 2-2-6-6-10-10 as well, so you can get more than just your one report per bureau if you do find an error. So I think I'll stop there, and you know, I welcome people's questions and then just ideas for how they might use this in their own communities, and also what kinds of services might be helpful as you think about what kinds of tools, tricks, social media, or anything else that would be helpful to you as you think about rolling this out.
Michael, this is Heidi in Outagamie County. I'm just wondering, at what age do kids typically get a credit? Like, when does your credit start? Is this something you can start with kids, or is it older?
So technically, well, you have to be 18 to check your credit report on the website. However, it is possible for kids to have a credit report for various reasons. You know, perhaps they had an account, a cell phone might trigger it, they had something in their name, they might have had some form of credit in their name. 15-year-old could certainly have an auto loan, for example. So it is possible that youth could have credit reports. The trick is getting it. So on the annualcreditreport.com website, they have a section related to checking the credit reports of minors. And I think that's a good point, and we should probably highlight that in the website itself, because you have to, you can't get the report online. You're going to have to end up probably requesting it in paper for a minor. But it is definitely possible to do, and, you know, for any minor who has any activity with the credit system, it probably is a good idea to start this even as young as 60.
Thank you.
Michael, this is Shelley. And one of the things maybe you, and this is probably on your list to do, is I know that the amount of individuals who use social media, if we could have some of those small one-liners where we could put them on as Facebook posts,
mm-hmm.
would be very helpful, or even on our website.
Yep.
If we could have a two or three, and I don't mean to sound nasty, but kind of like a tease.
Yep.
That we could put on a Facebook post, or on our website post with a link.
Yep.
Another thing I think, we're getting these Nexus tablets, is if any kind of an app could be developed. As well, because when we're teaching to the younger audience, many have the cell phone, and maybe the smartphones, I should say, and have apps. And if we could promote an app to them, that might be helpful too.
That's a great thought. So yeah, we will definitely look into the app idea. I mean, both those are great ideas. But so we are definitely going to work on sort of boilerplate Twitter and Facebook. But I think the app idea is a good one. And so I want to correct myself on Heidi's last question, too. I said 18. It's 13. A child under 13 can only do by mail. So 13 to 18 you can do online.
Michael, this is Shelley, and maybe you said this. I had a bit of an interruption when you were talking about what you were going to do is things with this information. Even old school thought is that from this information that you gave to us in this four-page piece about the credit reporting campaign, I think it would be nice to even put together like a three-part news piece series that we could pitch to our papers that, you know, here's something, and because at this time of year they're looking for finance stuff because of the income tax season and all those kinds of things.
So it would be, so what are you imagining, like four, three times a year there would be a set of articles, or would it be year-round?
I think year-round, but I mean, if we could have something where you could say, part 1A, what is your credit report and the campaign, you know, 2-2-6-6-10-10, that gets them on board.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, do one that says, now that you got your report, so what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Last one talking about, yeah, now I got my report, I better take care of it because of identity theft and how to make sure. And then you could talk about, if you see something wrong, what do I got to do? But it needs to be, you know, in general layman terms, but we also need to, because we need it so that people will read it and pick up on it and do it, but then also give us a little spot in there where we can say, you know, go to the Fond du Lac County UW Extension website because here's more information on annualcreditreport.com and yada, yada, yada.
That's a great idea. Yep.
For someone who does a weekly news column, I would second that.
Yeah, great. Other feedback on how you might engage on this? Does anybody have examples of credit-related education they're doing now that they want to share?
Michael, this is Ruth, and going back to your previous question, and I heard Shelley say she got interrupted. I did, too. When I look at the information that you've posted to the website, it would be great to have some of that almost in a fact sheet format or a bulletin format, something that's copy ready that we could print off and take along or share when we're in a meeting, something like that. And the content is fine. It's just that the format might look better if it was in a PDF that was just ready to go.
Right. So you'd have like one pager that you could hand out for a group.
On a number of those different topics, and maybe that already came up and I missed it, but that would be my suggestion.
That's great.
I'll second that. Good.
Michael, this is Christy, and I was thinking that third page of your brief, how to check a report step by step, in particular, I think that would be really good as a handout. I think it's pretty complete other than, you know, maybe a little bit of an intro or something like that at the top, because I think, you know, we have lots of things developed already that tells them this is the true website, be wary of copycat websites, but then what to do once they get it, what to look for, I think that's the handout piece that's really needed.
Great. No, we can definitely do that.
When you were asking, Michael, what types of education we're doing with credit, I'm doing it a number of different ways. One is that I teach down at the job center with Forward Services, and so I'm doing classes on this. I also teach during Money Smart Week, and then also through the NEFI curriculum, I am teaching to the Fresh Start kids, which are they're 19 to 24, 25 years of age. And so I use credit stuff to supplement the NEFI stuff for them. But that's kind of how I am using and teaching about credit.
Mm-hmm. So there's a NEFI curriculum on this or NEFI materials that you like?
Oh, excuse me. There is a NEFI chapter on credit. And so we talk about it. And I supplement a little bit.
And does that talk about getting the free credit report or just in general?
I got to think back here. I believe it does talk about getting the free credit report, but I usually go in a little deeper, mm-hmm. and I usually bring along then the sample credit report that we use for RentSmart so that they can see what it actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of use the sheet from RentSmart to talk it through. What they're all saying, but this piece that you've done, I mean, this is fine too.
Michael, this is Christy again. A quick question. Have you thought about putting any material either on this website or in general out about doing a credit freeze or when or why you might do that or what the steps are to do that?
I did. I started to put a little bit in the brief, and it does get complicated because, you know, there are two different flavors of the freeze, and one of them is a little more extreme than the other, and it can put a pretty serious administrative block on you in terms of getting credit and having your credit report accessible. So it is complicated, but I think it actually would be it could almost be a brief on its own. So I think there is going to be, you know, some demand for more information about that. There's a little bit of information on the website now about that, but we could probably do, you know, more detail, because those get complicated.
And I ask about that because some of the programming that I do is with incarcerated audiences, and I think there could be some benefit to them to acting on a freeze, especially if they're going to be incarcerated for a period of time, because typically there are people that know a lot of their personal information to continue opening accounts while they're incarcerated.
Right, that's not a population I was thinking about in my head. For a lot of people, it would be a problem, but for them actually it might be a huge advantage to have it not accessible while they're not using it.
And this is Peggy. I was thinking about a lot of the credit conversations I have with people are one-on-one and also with lower income populations. And when they're going to order their credit report, I like to give them a heads up that if they've moved around a lot lately, they might not get a report, or they might ask for more information, like a copy of a utility bill with their name on, a copy of their driver's license. So I like to give them a heads up so they don't get discouraged right away if they get another letter saying they can't get a report yet.
Yeah, that's a good one. And on the online site, they'll start to quiz them about all the places they've had reported addresses.
Yeah, and I have had people fail that quiz in my office.
Yeah.
So, if they don't remember all the different addresses and stuff.
Right.
But maybe that little blurb could go on the obtaining your credit section.
Yep. This is you might want to actually have that information handy, not just line memory.
Yeah, or that, you know, don't be discouraged if it's, if you're asked for more information if you moved around recently.
Right.
This is Sue. I just had it happen this morning. Maybe this is, if it's all right to ask this now, that someone was trying to get her credit report, and she went to the site and requested it, and they said that it was not available to her. And so, so we checked another one of them, and it also said it wasn't available, and she had pulled it in June of last year, and she hadn't. And then I tried to get mine, and the same thing happened. They were telling me that I couldn't get them, and I, you know, has anybody ever had that experience where the website just isn't working correctly, or it's shutting you out? Then we phoned the 800 number and was able to get through and get them ordered.
Has anybody else had that experience? I've not. I've really only done my own, and I've always had success, but I never. I don't know how they know the last time that you were in to try to block that.
We've been getting that it's not available or some error on the site. The last couple times I've had somebody in here trying to get one, probably in the last month.
But then when you call the 1-800 number, you're able to still get it online, or do they end up having to mail it?
They didn't want to call the 800. I just gave them the form to mail it in then.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it once through the form to mail in, and once this morning through the 800 number. She got in, got through, and they said they would mail it within 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
But when we put online, it said no, it wasn't available. Yeah, and that happened to me personally, too. But that was last year, so.
One of the advantages of this campaign is that people do stick the 2-2. 6, 6, and 10, and they do the bureaus in alphabetical order the way we're suggesting, they should be good. They shouldn't be in that position every year. Has anybody found any good either websites or online or even print materials that go through each section of the credit report and provide a how to look for certain headings, how to look for certain information?
Well, in the RentSmart curriculum, there is a segment that goes through each segment of a credit report, explaining what it is, what you're going to see there, what you should check, and it talks about what a landlord would be looking for. But it talks about, dockets and civil rights, cases. It talks about, how long things are on, how when they start to drop off, what some of the red flags are and like that. I don't know if that would be helpful or not to you as a starting point.
I think one of the things we're struggling with is that each of the three bureau reports looks different.
Right.
And what we'd really like to see is all three of them sort of, side by side with, in this report, look for this, in this report, look for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen that anywhere.
And the RentSmart one, it talks about personal information, then if there's any docket information, then it talks about accounts, and then it talks about inquiries. And that's kind of the overarching categories that it talks about.
All right, well, does anybody have any last questions or comments before we... Well, I thank everybody for your time today. You will see more information from me and from Meg in the next couple weeks, preparing for February 2nd, the launch of this initiative. And so we look forward to your feedback, and hopefully we'll go from there. So thanks a lot. Have a great week.